Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody listening to the Writer's Process Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with Chris Eigenman. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm well. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm a fan because I, well, not only did I know you from Gilmore Girls, you know, and everything, so I do have to ask you a couple questions that are non-writer questions at some point.
Sure.
I was enthralled, and you saw my post that I said about Seven in Heaven, which was a movie I discovered through Glass. Like, I went, you know, I had Glass, and it was a preview for it, and I hadn't heard of it. It was like, I guess it's been on Netflix for a little bit. I hadn't heard of it, and I was like, wow, that was
Yeah, it came out. They took it for Halloween, so it was October. They got it for the end of October, basically.
Oh, they got it till the end of October?
They bought it from Universal and Blumhouse specifically for, you know, the Halloween season. And they still have it, obviously, and it's still there. But it's appeared on other streaming services since. But that was that's how it came out.
Awesome. I completely loved it. So I guess let's begin for people who, I guess, even including myself, who may not be familiar with your early, like, kind of history. Did you always want to be a writer?
So I always wrote, but I started and am still an actor. And so for, you know, 25, 30 years, I've been acting mostly in, you know, independent film in New York, but then doing TV shows and sometimes doing larger movies. And then I kept writing, and then I started putting the things that I wrote and tried to put them together and make, you know, films out of them. And it's a really short version of what it's been, but that is the version.
I mean, so we were talking earlier about Turn the River, which is your first, first feature
right.
film. Can you tell us, like, what was your, like, were you planning on it to be like a festival type movie, or were you, like, when you got into it, like, what was your intention behind making that film?
So Famke Janssen and I had done a film as actors together. It was her and Ian Holm and me, and it was a New York independent called The Treatment. There were a lot of other great actors in it too, but it was the first time I'd ever worked with Famke. And Famke and I got on really well, and I really liked how she worked, and I think she liked how I worked. And so after that film, I started writing something sort of geared for Famke, who I thought this would be a fun thing and a good thing, and I thought it was something she could do really well. So, and that film sort of centers around pool halls and poker, and those are two things that I spent a lot of time in my off hours doing. I sort of view Famke as sort of a cowboy in the way that she approaches the work, and which I like. I mean, that is a high compliment. So I ended up writing this and I showed it to her and she really liked it. And so we, you know, figured out a way of doing it. And we brought on a bunch of actors that we loved and producers that we worked really well together. And yeah, I always assumed it would probably be a festival film. I knew it was not going to be a film that was going to be on, you know, 4,500 screens.
Right.
And but I also wanted, you know, this was that film was before, for example, streaming was really a thing. And I also, I wanted it to be seen in theaters. And so that, and it worked out well. I mean, it had a nice theatrical release. Critics were very kind to it. And then it went to Sundance Channel. And it played there for a really long time. And now I think it's on Amazon Prime. It's been on Amazon Prime for a really long time, which I'm happy about too.
Yeah, so do you get a lot of people who are just now discovering it, like myself, and watching it?
It's interesting, the people who kind of gravitate towards it. Certainly people who play pool and people who play cards. And Famke has an enormous fan base because she's Famke Janssen, and she should have an enormous fan base. And, you know, then people... You know, people stumble upon it, which I'm really happy about. I'm always happy to have somebody come up and you know, talk about that film. Like, I always like that. That's, I'm happy when people come up and talk to me about, you know, films I've been in as an actor too. But I do think that, you know, streaming services are fantastic in that really anybody now can find it, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as opposed to, like, I guess when there were video stores, everybody could find it if it went to the video store, you know, and now...
Well, yeah,
it's
but that film
it's a whole
came out...
Thing.
Right, but that film came out sort of as video stores were going away, and there would still be, you know, DVD, sort of very curated DVD stores, which are fantastic. And even those are really struggling now, which I think is a loss. So, I think it's streaming services are 100% a blessing in terms of getting people to see the thing that you made.
Yeah, I saw your video where you were on the Criterion Channel, in the closet, you know, picking the movies out there or whatever. And I thought that was pretty cool.
The Criterion, first of all, for everybody listening to this, just sign up for the Criterion Channel. It's $10 a month or something. And that it will be the best $10 you spend that month, I promise.
Oh, I know. I
super happy to be invited to come in and, you know, wander around their closet because, you know, there's tens of thousands of titles in there that, and as I've said before, I kind of thought that the Criterion Closet was like some mythical place that kind of didn't exist, but actually it's a real place and it really does exist. And, you know, you're able to wander around and look at all these films that, you know, you kind of dream of getting your hands on.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's go into your, like, the process, which is what our show is called, Writer's Process. So when you start writing a script, do you always have, like, a formulated story in mind, or do you kind of, does it take you a while to, like, outline?
I really don't outline. I mean, I outline, I guess, a little bit if I'm deep into it. Like, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 pages in, then maybe I'd start outlining stuff. But I'm not saying outlining is bad. It's not. And people can get a lot out of it, and that's part of their process. It's just not part of mine. For me, and this maybe perhaps speaks poorly about me, but I find outlining to be a little bit, again, just for me, playing tennis with the net down, where, you know, you can say anything in an outline. You know, you can have your characters do anything in an outline. Suddenly they're going to Hawaii, and, you know, and it just doesn't, for me, it just doesn't work. My process, I think, is more laborious, sadly, but I sort of end up having a sort of central idea. So for Seven in Heaven, the sort of central idea was, I want these guys to be lost in a place that's 100% familiar to them.
Right.
That became sort of the North Star for the screenplay, right? And then I also had some other things about it. I was working on another movie and trying to put it together that was much bigger than this film. And it got really close, then it fell apart, then it got really close, then it fell apart again. And one of the difficulties of the film in a sort of budgeting, producing way was how many locations there were. So then I also thought, well, is there a way of making a movie where you can just recycle locations? And on top of that, I really love genre films. Like, I just really like them. Those are the movies I tend to go to. And so then that got thrown into the mix. And I like writing about, you know, high schoolers or college kids. I like writing about those guys. And so that got thrown into the mix. And out of that little toxic brew started to get a story.
Right.
So I think that's sort of the stepping off point for me. This is an incredibly long way of answering. I don't outline.
Well, that's good. No, I don't. I'm a writer too. I don't know if you knew that or not. But
no, of course.
That's why
I don't think I would have signed up if you weren't.
If I were just some random guy that was wanting to talk about the process of writing, you know, I mean, I guess there could be somebody who just likes hearing people's, you know, talk about that, but that just sounds boring to me unless you're like really into it. What my thing is, I love, I love to just write, you know. Sometimes if I have an idea, I just start writing it. And then like the first draft might end up being like the outline, you know, and then later on I can fix it up to, you know, whatever. But a lot of people think that's crazy. I don't know. Like, do you think that's crazy?
I don't think that's crazy. I mean, that, no, of course not. I think that falls in line, you know, it was E.L. Doctorow, I think. Yeah, I think it really was Doctorow, who said that writing is like driving at night with your headlights off.
Right.
And I think that's reasonably true. I think that, you know, and also doing it that way gives you the incredibly luxurious opportunity to be surprised by what you've written, like to see a churn that you never saw coming and you made it and, you know, you're deeply cheered by it. You just think that's fantastic. I mean, that's the only reason, you know, that's the only reason to keep writing. Right. I mean, the reason to write is the moments where something appeared that you never had thought of and that suddenly makes you laugh or suddenly, you know, takes your breath away but you never saw it. You certainly didn't, you know, design it that way. It suddenly this just happened. This thing just happened. Suddenly these people were talking and then this thing happened. And that, I mean, that's, right, that's the gold standard, at least for me. Like that, I love that.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, because I think, you know, when you're writing something and you're hoping something will work, you know, and then you kind of just, you know, maybe it doesn't, you know, at first or whatever, and you have to go and fix it and wonder why, you know, it's just not working or whatever, you know, but you start doing that, then when it does come together, you start feeling like, oh, crap, this is actually working. You know,
yeah.
Like, this is good.
I mean,
good.
That's it. I mean, once you sort of think, like, I don't know, those three pages, they play. Like, that's all I care about. Just let them play. Like, let those pages actually, you know, once actors get their hands on it, like, that scene will play. That'll be good.
Definitely. Do you think that being a actor kind of has helped you with your writing a lot?
Oh, of course. I mean, 100%. How could it not? I think, you know, as an actor, the things that I love is, you know, really well-written, beautifully written, really well-crafted, well-structured dialogue. Like, I love that. So, you know, you and I were talking before this started about Gilmore Girls. Like, Gilmore Girls, those episodes are, you know, those shows are beautiful. They're beautifully written.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're absolutely tight as a drum. And Amy and Dan are doing a show now, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which if you watch, it's the same thing. It's incredibly well-structured.
Oh, it's really funny. My parents love that show, but they never really watched Gilmore Girls. And then I was watching it a little bit this week. I was watching season 4 to kind of be able to just at least say I've seen some, you know, some more of the episodes again, because I hadn't seen it in forever. But
right.
My dad was just enthralled by the talk, you know, the talking, you know,
yeah.
or whatever. He's just
right.
like, you know,
Well, and also
yeah,
I got, you know, look, I got super lucky in, and I'm the first to say it, but I got incredibly lucky in my acting career. The first film I did was Metropolitan with Whit Stillman. And then we did 3 films together, and you know, those films are incredibly well written. And then I did 3 films with Noah Baumbach, and Noah is an incredible writer. And you know, those scripts were, you know, joyful to be involved with. And then I had a sitcom for 2 years with Peter Melman, and Peter was one of the Seinfeld writers, and a lot of the Seinfeld writers came on board and wrote for the show, and those scripts were incredibly well written. And I've just sort of been really kind of lucky going down the line with working with people who are incredibly good writers. And you know, in a way that, you know, that made me really selfish about like, you know, it was sort of an unfair high bar for a lot of other scripts, right? Like, you're like, I mean, this is insanely lucky on my part.
Right. Well, do you, okay, so I have an actor question for you because and it goes with writing, especially now that you've said you've worked with so many great, amazing you know, writers, have you ever like auditioned for something not knowing like obviously what the, you know, if the script is going to be any good, and then you get the part and then the script isn't nearly as good as maybe like the sides were that you read?
It's
gotta be a little bit difficult.
I know we don't like long pauses on things like this. I honestly would say no, but the reason I'd say no is I can't think of a time where I signed on board for a thing when I hadn't read the script. Right? And so the idea of like signing on board from sides or something like that, I don't think I've ever done that. And so I think that everything I've signed up for, I was wholeheartedly endorsing the script. I was, you know, completely on board with what I was saying yes to. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but I honestly don't think I am wrong. I think that I can't think of an example where, you know, I felt like I was sold a bill of goods or something like that. I honestly don't think that's true. I think that I was always on board with everything I was on board with.
Well, that's good. Some people aren't that lucky, I guess, too. So they And especially when they're new, they'll sign up for almost anything just to get credits to put on their resume. So.
Yeah, I mean, look, that isn't to say I haven't done things that I've been good in. I mean, there's been plenty of things that I'm sure I was bad in when I was first starting out. You know, there were off-Broadway plays that I'm sure they were things that only a mother could love. But I'm not sure I would attribute that to the plays failing. I probably would attribute it to me as being a young actor and maybe not being able to get where I needed to get or something like that.
All right. Now to go back to your writing, do you like, okay, I always like to ask this and find out stuff, but do you like write at your, you know, do you write at your house? Do you write at a coffee shop? Do you write in a park? Like, or do you write anywhere?
I have many writer friends who've written amazing books and fantastic screenplays in coffee shops. I absolutely can't do that. A lot of me writing is me talking to myself. So, I mean, nobody wants to be near that person in a coffee shop. And I'm not even sure I could do it in a coffee shop. Like, I just don't know that I could do it. So, no, I have an office in Brooklyn that most of the writing gets done in. And nobody comes in that office. Like, it's not like, you know, it's not like there are people like, it's just my office.
Okay. That's good that you're basically able to go out. Cause actually I was, interviewed a writer who had talked about that, had actually, you know, has his own office and he likes to go to the office because, it helps, you know, as a, it helps to make it look like you're going to work. Basically, you know, when you're doing
well, I mean, that's
so you feel professional.
That's been the advice 100%. I mean, that's been the advice of writers for, you know, 100 years. I don't even remember who was it. I mean, it was maybe like, was it Updike who said it or Cheever or somebody who said, you know, you show up at 10 a.m. and you have, you know, hard sole, leather soled shoes, and you sit down at your desk and you write. And because it's a job just like every other job. And, you know, I certainly don't take it that far, but I do, I like the ritual. I like the schedule of it. I like, you know, dropping my boy off at school, keep walking, start thinking about what I need to do that day in terms of writing or in terms of pages or in terms of whatever deadline, and then getting into the studio and writing. I like all of that.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And I think, I mean, as a professional, you know, you want to, even if you're writing on spec, you know, and you're just writing for yourself, you want to make sure, you know, you want to make it feel like you're doing a job, you know, not just, you know, even though you
yeah.
will get paid later, you know, you want to feel like it's something like that, not just a hobby.
I think that if you are not taking yourself seriously, there's absolutely no reason anybody else should be.
Yeah, definitely. With the coffee shop thing in mind, do you drink a lot of coffee or do you make sure you're drinking like very healthy stuff? Like, what do you, write on?
I do not write on coffee. I don't drink coffee. I drink tea. The reason I drink tea is because I don't like the 0 to 60 2x4 across my face of coffee.
All right.
I find it to be, not, conductive to getting stuff done. You know, that's neither here nor there. So yeah, I drink a lot of tea. I do a lot of crossword puzzles. I definitely wander around a lot talking to myself. And then, you know, there's the second part. After you write the thing and somebody buys it and says they're going to make it, then you have to sort of sit down and change gears and start envisioning exactly how it is you're going to make it. Like, exactly how are you going to shoot the thing?
Yeah, definitely. I like that. But it's funny because I got ADD, so coffee just chills me out.
You know? Oh, well, that's all right. That's the same. At the end of the day, that's the same thing then.
Yeah, that's the same thing as the tea. I'll go with that.
100%.
I was never a tea drinker. Never a tea drinker. I don't know why. I just, I mean, I'll
at the end of the day,
it,
you
like,
probably
in a
will
restaurant.
Be.
Okay. When
also,
I'm starting to get more healthy.
It's,
you know.
Health, neither here nor there. It's, it's super easy to make a horrendously bad cup of coffee. It's almost impossible to make a bad cup of tea.
That's true. You never heard anybody
no,
say,
it's 100%
oh, that's a bad cup of tea.
No. Trust me. These are, you know, the little things that will get you through.
So let's find out. So you did Seven to Heaven. Was that like, did
mm-hmm.
you talk to Blumhouse or did they come to you? Or how did that all come about?
It happened that I was in Los Angeles, again, trying to sort of revive the film that kept falling apart. It was a much larger budget. I kept getting calls saying, you know, could you meet at Blumhouse at this time or that time or this time or that time? And I was like, I can't because I'm meeting these people at this people. These people. And, but then there was a time that I was like, yeah, of course. So I showed up and, I met the head of features, Cooper, there, and the development director, Ryan, there, and, you know, we had this kind of great meeting, sort of fantastic afternoon. And that was, like, on a Thursday, and then we had a deal on a Tuesday to make the movie. It was very straightforward and very simple, which is it's incredibly rare that that happens, but that's how it happened.
Yeah, I've actually met Ryan. Ryan Turek, great guy.
Yeah, Ryan's
fantastic.
Amazing. Oh, he's fantastic. He's
he's
one of the best. And so is Cooper.
He's
and so is Jason.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known Jason. Jason was a producer on the first movie that I was when well, not the first one of the first movies I was in as an actor. In fact, there was a world in which Jason was going to play my part.
Wow. And then it just switched.
Then he produced
okay,
it was Kicking
cool.
and Screaming. It was Noah Baumbach's first film. And so Jason ended up being a producer. And so I've known him forever. But, you know, I was that's not how it got to them. You know, one of my representatives sent it to them. And it went, I think, to Ryan first.
That's great. So the first movie you do is Turn the River. It's a drama. It's you know, it's got its own little style to it. Then you do this movie. It's completely kind of like, I would say, like, maybe a 180 from Turn the River in a way. What do you, like, is that what you like to do? Do you like to kind of keep genres going, different genres? Or is it just like it just happened that way?
I think it just happened that way. You know, the next one I'm doing – excuse me, it's also a genre film. It's also sort of a horror film. It won't be over at Blumhouse, I don't think, just because it's, I mean, I only finished it like 3 or 4 weeks ago, but it's a little bit more expensive than they like to spend money on, which is 100% understandable,
mm-hmm.
and that's their business model, and they have done incredibly well with it. So I'm certainly not here to question that. But I do think that I like working in genre stuff.
Okay, yeah, and so I guess, yeah, so you keep doing different genres, you know, not the same thing. So does that help to kind of keep things flowing differently, or do you just kind of just happen?
I think it just happens. I don't think anything is overtly purposeful. I think it just sort of happens. Like, oh, this is the story that I ended up telling. I mean, genre is sort of lovely in a way because you don't need, you know, you don't need, they're easier to set up, right? You don't need all of, you know, I don't need huge, huge movie stars necessarily or whatever. It's a little bit easier just because, the subject matter is so kind of engrossing and fun that sometimes things get made a little bit easier.
Definitely. Well, so you say you're working on your next one. Are you going to be directing that as well, or just writing?
Yeah, I'll direct this one too.
Well, do you like, you know, writing what you direct, you know, kind of thing? Like, do you like having both a man and Anne?
Yeah. I mean, I've never directed a film that I haven't written. I've directed television that I haven't written, and I like doing that also. But for now, that seems to be the way it's sort of working out.
That's great, because, you know, some people are great writers. Like, William Goldman never directed anything from what I know of, you know, before he passed.
No, I don't think he ever did.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was an excellent writer, you know, or whatever. Because he had no interest in directing.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the sort of soft soap, but he was, you know, certainly for my generation, he was the writer, right? I mean, he was, you know, he was the writer.
Well, it's so,
but no,
so funny because
right.
His scripts are like completely different than the normal formatted scripts. If you read any of his scripts, they're just like, they're his own thing. You know, they're almost like kind of little mini novels with dialogue, you know, which I like, but it's completely different, you know?
I don't know if they're that different at root, but I do think that they, you know, he was writing at a time when, I think I'm right about this, but when he would finish a thing, screenplays weren't as codified as they are now. Once it got sort of ingested by the studio, then the studio would sort of codify it in terms of, you know, what it looks like and what it feels like. But he felt sort of apparently unencumbered by that. And so there, you read his stuff and it has this amazingly easy swing on it. But part of that is that, you know, now everybody knows, you know, what a screenplay is supposed to look like. And that's actually kind of to its detriment to a certain degree, I think.
Yeah, I agree, because sometimes, like, I don't know, even Tarantino does a little bit differently on his stuff, but he's Tarantino, he can do what he
right.
wants, you know what I mean? Like, nobody's
right.
gonna say, oh, this is formatted incorrectly, Quentin, go format this right, you know? Like, you know, he can do whatever he wants, you know? And I like
right.
that about him, I guess. I'm actually looking forward to his new movie. Coming out pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
So.
No, I mean, listen, I think you speak for a nation.
I think I do, too. I posted something yesterday about it and had so many people, like, agreeing and saying they can't wait to see it. So it's going to be a big hit.
Isn't it?
Which
is
awesome.
Is it next weekend?
I don't think. It's the 26th. Is that next weekend? Is it the weekend after?
So it's 2 weekends away?
Yeah, it's 2 weekends away. But I'm excited. Like, I can't wait. It's going to be fun. And,
I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, as a writer, you say, like, what, I guess you're based in New York, right, if I'm correct on that?
We used to have a little place in L.A. because I was out there so much. But, no, we live in New York. We live, you know, in Brooklyn.
Awesome. Do you feel like a lot of writers, because I'm actually moving to LA next year is the plan. So do you think
Where
that
are you
writers
now?
Should be living? I'm in Virginia.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do I think people should be living in LA or New York? Truthfully?
Yeah. Or yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to say no, but the truth is, yeah. I'm trying to think who I was – what writer was talking about this? It might have been Chris McQuarrie talking about how he was writing in LA and then he left LA to Portland maybe or something. and it just made things harder, and he had to come back. I could be kind of wrong on that. I think I'm 60-40, probably right. But, yeah, I think, you know, if you want people to read your stuff, it helps if you're around them.
Right.
You know, the question is, you know, how you want to make it more difficult to be dismissed. So,
right.
Yeah, it's not the worst. The downside is everybody you bump into in LA will be doing what you're doing, which can be
right.
Enervating or agonizing or, you know, any number of things, but because it's kind of a, you know, it's a one business town. But, you know, it's the business we're in. So there you go.
Well, I heard the writer of, was The Secret Lives of Pets, Brian Lynch. He talked once when he was younger or whatever, doing this stuff. He said, that he was in New Jersey where he originally lived. And he'd be like, you know, people ask, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a screenwriter. And then the bars there, they're like, oh my God, that is so cool. And they're asking all these questions. You go to, you know, LA and you say, you know, they ask you, what do you do? And you say, I'm a screenwriter. They go, me too. What are you working on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like
no,
thing,
I mean,
so.
You know, it is. That's, I mean, that's, you know, that's 95% of the city. And there are really great things about it, and it can really help you. And there are really kind of difficult things about it, and it can eat at you. So, but yeah, I think it's the right move.
Great. Now, last question before, because it's almost like about 7 minutes or so until we're wrapped up. So, real quick, I just want to ask, like, do you have any advice on writers, like, seeking for, like, managers or anything like that? Or do you think, like, just make a movie and then maybe managers will find you? Or do you think, do you have to, like, submit? Because a lot of them won't take unsolicited scripts and, you know, things like that.
Right. So this is, first of all, this is a difficult question that is now much more difficult because of the WGA versus the ATA issue, right? I think my advice about representation is probably oversimplistic, but it is work with people you want to work with. And if you don't want to be, if there's somebody who wants to represent you and you maybe don't want to work with them, is it better to be represented by somebody you don't necessarily want to be working with versus not having representation? You know, probably the cold hard truth is, yeah, maybe you work with them for a little while and see if it gets better. Right now, because of the WGA, ATA issue, which, by the way, I'm, you know, obviously very supportive of the as being a guild member, I'm very supportive of the WGA in this. Right now, managers are being overwhelmed with, you know, submissions of scripts and so on and so forth. So that makes it a little bit more difficult. But I think the idea of, you know, you sort of posited the question as an either or, should you be doing, you know, should you be submitting this or should you be going off and getting your movie made? I would say you should be doing both. You know, don't wait on one, do both and see what happens. You know, getting a movie made, I mean, obviously, and this has been said a million times before, but, you know, you can shoot a movie on an iPhone. So you can do this. Like, everybody now, you know, technology has gotten to a point where, yeah, you can do this. Now, that's good. It's also terrifying. But it does put the onus back on the writer and to the director to make it good. Because just because you can do it doesn't make it good. Just because you could make it, just because it exists, doesn't mean it's any good. So, you know, work hard to write something and then, you know, figure out a way to make it for as little money as possible. And then, yes, you know, representation will follow. But I would always say do both. I mean, because one isn't in exclusion of the other, I don't think.
Okay. So are there managers who actually do take unsolicited scripts, or, you know, or do you have to know somebody who actually works with them?
I don't know that managers take unsolicited scripts. I'm not sure. But I would wager no. But maybe, I mean, there are other kind of great resources out there. Film Independent is great. That's in LA. And there are ways, I guess, of sort of, you know, beginning to network. And I think that what you want to do is sort of find, I mean, I'm a big fan of finding writers that you like, whether they're repped or not repped or whatever, but, you know, yeah, and you sort of start building your own tribe, and that, you know, everybody starts helping everybody else, which isn't the worst.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show today. Hope you had a good time chatting about
I had a great time.
Your process and everything. Can you tell everybody where they could reach you social media-wise?
Yeah, no, I'm just on Twitter. I'm on, you know, I'm at Chris Eigenman at Twitter, and that's it. I mean, I'm not on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on those. I think you kind of have to choose, you know, where you want to sop your time up. And so I guess I choose Twitter, although I don't even post all that much on Twitter, but I'm 100% there. And, you know, it's easy to get hold of me.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much. Just so you know, I have another podcast I do that's like horror-centered called Horror, Blood, and Coffee. And on this, we're planning on this next episode to be talking about Seven in Heaven. So we're going to be chatting about kind of giving our own little review and everything of it. So if you want to stop by and say hey and stuff, we'd be glad to have you.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So you know
shoot
there'll
me an
be
invite.
One person at least. Yeah. But
no,
thank you so much. Thank you so much. This is awesome. Very appreciated.
Thank you for the invitation, man. All right. I'll talk to
you
later.
Yeah, no problem. Okay, definitely.
Right.
Have a good one.
Bye. All right. Thanks, man.
Bye. All right, everybody, that was Chris Eigenman. Chris, it was awesome. That was just a great show. And he's just a very, very, very smart and just awesome dude. And I really appreciated him coming on the show. I do not know who's going to be. I think I have somebody planned for the next episode. I have to go look into it and everything and make sure before I say anything, but just keep looking at Writer's Process on Twitter and the Writer's Process podcast on both Facebook and Instagram. So look for that. Follow us. Let us know what you guys think. Do you enjoy the show? What are some screenwriters that you would look forward to me having on the show? All right. Have a good one. Bye.